Guilty movie pleasure fans, today when I left my house, I looked at my wife and daughter and I said, Daddy's gotta go to work, because we're covering Furious 7!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasures.
Oh yeah, we're slow jamming it. We're slow jamming. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, we took it down a notch today.
Right. I was just tired. I didn't want to do it for
Well, I've been going too fast and too furiously all day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, do we have a fun show for you today? Because we are talking about, hands down, one of my favorite franchises.
Put your hands down.
Put them down, literally. The Fast and Furious franchise. Furious 7 specifically, which I think so far, obviously I haven't seen 8 yet, is the guiltiest of all in the best way.
You also you haven't seen 9? You haven't seen 10?
I anticipate
at some point be a real thing.
They are. They're already listed on IMDb. They're planning up through 13 so far. So this movie, for me, I'll give a... Well, first off, hey, I'm Ben Begley. I forget to do that every show, but you know that. All 10 of you that watch. And Jesse, can you tell them where can they find you?
You can find me right here, Guilty Movie Pleasures.
It's Jesse McIntosh, everybody.
Jesse McIntosh. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse.
At the Ben Begley, whatever. Anyways, we're going to talk about this. This is all I care about right now because, so I loved, like everybody, I loved the first Fast and Furious movie. I thought it was like basically Point Break with race cars. And Vin Diesel came on the scene with that. I'd only seen him in Saving Private Ryan before then. And he was great in that too. But then I skipped Too Fast, Too Furious because I heard it was kind of shitty. Although I ended up seeing it later and enjoyed it. Tokyo Drift, I remember renting and fast-forwarding through, because other than the race scenes, it's pretty shitty.
You watched it too fast?
I did. I watched it way too fast, and I was really furious.
Yeah.
But that movie introduced us to Han, which is one of my favorite characters in the series, but killed him off in that movie. So they retcon it in Fast 5, which Fast 5 is like Ocean's 11 meets a Fast and Furious movie, and it is fucking awesome. And then Fast and Furious 6 is completely just... It really got back to, for me, the street racing with the action elements. And then this one is like an even more heightened version of that, where Fast and Furious 6 had some ridiculousness, but the silliest moment of that movie is when Dom tackles Letty and saves her, and Superman flies across the bridge and crashes into another car. And she goes, "How did you know that car was going to be there to save us?" And he goes, "I didn't." And the whole audience laughed their asses off. But that was like the silliest moment. This movie... just this part alone, where the car launches through three towers in Dubai.
They do it twice, as Paul Walker corrects.
Yeah, it was actually three buildings.
Yeah, it was actually three.
This movie heightens it, but to me, this franchise can do no wrong because they don't take themselves too seriously. They have a really fun ensemble, and it's just you go in there to have a blast and to unplug. And yes, it is a guilty movie franchise, but it's a guilty movie franchise that clearly works because they make billions of dollars and they're really critically well received as well. This got, I think, 79% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is crazy for a movie that shoots a car through buildings.
Yeah.
Now that I gave you the entire rundown, because I wanted to rush through that so we can get to this movie, I saw it in theaters. I loved it. I cried my eyes out at the end because it's a really touching way they say goodbye to Paul Walker, which was super tragic. We won't dwell on that too much, but just, Paul Walker, we love you, we miss you, and rest in peace, brother. Jesse, what did you think about this? You haven't seen any of them, right?
I saw the first one. Okay. I saw the first one a very long time ago.
2001.
Roundabouts 2001.
Roundabouts.
Yeah, in that general vicinity. I'm not going to nail it down to 2001.
I don't want to commit.
We're not in a court of law here, but I don't want to later be questioned on this and find out that no, it wasn't 2001. It was in the general area of 2001.
Yeah, okay.
But then I didn't see any of the rest of them because, like you, I heard Too Fast, Too Furious and Tokyo Drift were no good. And what am I going to jump back into a series in the fourth? No, I would see it in progression.
Yeah, the fourth one's decent. To me, there's a little bit too much green screen stuff in some of the racing moments. So.
Yeah. But so then I saw this for the first time. And so I talk a lot about some of the action movies that we see, like set rules in the beginning. And then if you break those rules, then that's when I get thrown out of the movie a little bit. But so much... You were saying that like they go to really heightened and silly places, but they've established that that's what they're going to do. Like they've already said, sort of anything is possible here.
Yeah.
Particularly
they're
in like
superheroes.
Like how they can physically contort and how cars can like do physical things that like you would never ever be able to do.
The fight with The Rock and Jason Statham where they throw each other through like 7 panes of glass and they have like 2 cuts on them.
Yeah.
They got like a paper cut on their cheek.
So there's one thing that I want to say about that, but we can save that if you want.
Yeah, sure.
But
so what was your impression of your first Furious movie?
It's
after
like explosive,
right?
This movie, like
it's nonstop,
and they like continue to top themselves through every single thing.
Yeah.
And never once was I like bummed out about the like actuality of what would happen.
Yeah,
like the cars when they jump out of the plane and then land on the road.
Perfectly.
Just like driving.
Yeah.
Like that was the only moment where I was like, but like even then it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter,
like
it's so fun.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
So, fun.
So it was just a situation where like, and no pun intended, but it was just like buckle up and enjoy the ride, kind
yeah.
of.
Look
yeah.
at that. Mm-hmm. Look at that. I'll bet that's a review somewhere, because you know how reviewers
be.
Like to get really punny with stuff.
Yeah.
Like, this franchise is nowhere near out of gas. Or when Pixels came out, they're like, not worth a quarter to replay. And you're like, oh, Jesus.
I really like that you did a Fast and Furious example, and your next example is Pixels.
I just remember that. I remember that. Those reviews being super punny. That's
yeah.
all. That's why.
Yeah, yeah.
So you enjoyed it. That's great. I'm
yes.
very happy to hear that, because
yes.
these are some of my favorite movies. Fast 5, 6, and 7. Are just, I have watched them all multiple times, and I just have a blast. And it's silly, but still grounded in like the thing I found, especially rewatching Furious 7, is how much heart it's still grounded in. You know, with the fact that they assemble this family from all different walks of life, from all different backgrounds, and it's not a quote unquote literal family, but it just proves that you know you can choose. People that you're close to can become family.
Sure.
And I love that Dom has always been about that, which is why I'm so interested to find why there's family no more in the Fate of the Furious.
Ooh.
Why Dom went evil.
Ooh.
When I watched the trailer to Fate of the Furious, I gasped. I was like, no! But family! He doesn't have friends. He has family.
Well,
and now he doesn't have family?
You know, he
oh, I'm
like,
so intrigued.
He went off to college. And
God, I'm so
now he's like, he's being exposed to new things.
I think he's,
like,
I think he's, this is not a spoiler because I don't know for sure, but I think he's, my theory is that he's being brainwashed by Charlize Theron, because I think what they're going to do is tie it in to Michelle Rodriguez lost her memory because she was actually brainwashed by Owen Shaw, and we'll find out that Charlize Theron ties into that, and she ties into Deckard Shaw and all that. Or Owen Shaw, and then Deckard Shaw's pissed because she got... Anyways, I'm getting very confusing. It's fine. But let's talk...
Who among us has not been brainwashed by Charlize Theron?
You know, I mean, come on. Those Coco Chanel commercials or whatever. Let's get into the plot in under 3 minutes. This is going to be fun, because then we have a shorter show today. The other show went long, but it's okay. We're gonna have fun, no matter what. We're going to do the plot in 3 minutes... Are we ready in the booth? Do we have that up there, Josh?
We have it in
Let's
the back.
Let's do it. Starting
okay.
now.
Oh, shit. Oh, God.
Oh, wait.
Okay,
pull
here
up
we
that
go.
Second window.
Okay. Oh, I got to find a second window. So we start off with the most badass intro ever to a villain, where Statham is talking to his brother, and he's like, I'm going to find whoever did this to you, and I'm going to make him pay. And he walks out, and he's just caused havoc in this one shot with all these cops and all these people dead, and these vehicles exploded.
It's like the hospital's
Boom.
Burning down, but his brother's still in the hospital.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he's like,
yeah,
why are
yeah.
you destroying this hospital?
You should probably take your brother with
yeah.
you. Then we go to Dom and Letty. Letty still doesn't have her memory, so he takes her to Race Wars, where they invented it, and she wins, and she gets freaked out because Iggy Azalea's there, and that would freak anybody out, and she punches a dude, and then he's like, damn, she's got a good hit.
And then The Rock is finishing up his stuff,
yep.
and he like then Jason Statham comes in and like is in
badass.
His chair, and he's like, "Who the fuck are you?" And then they have a fight, and Jason Statham blows
amazing,
up the police
amazing
station.
Amazing throwdown!
Yep, and The Rock gets catapulted out of the police station.
He saves the other police officer by jumping out and falling on top of another car.
Yeah,
and then he's out of commission for the rest of the movie. And then okay,
and then,
oh, God.
Oh, and then there's a bomb. There's
then,
a bomb
yeah.
at Paul Walker's house.
They kill Han, and then they blow up Paul Walker's house, and he's driving a minivan now, and he's kind of conflicted about family life. And then, oh God. And then Kurt Russell shows up, because at the funeral for Han, Jason Statham shows up, and he's like, and then Dom goes, and they're about to fight, and then Kurt Russell shows up and says, hey, I'm
He's
Mr.
like, we
Nobody.
Want the same thing. Yeah, we both want to get Deckard Shaw.
Guess what? There's this God's Eye, this hacker named Ramsey. You got to go there. There's this one specific place. If they go over the mountains, then we're screwed. So they parachute naturally out of
as you do.
they parachute their cars down land. There's this amazing chase sequence. Deckard Shaw shows up again. Jason Statham and
they do a bunch of driving off cliffs.
They
get the hacker
off the cliff. Tony Jaa shows up. They get Ramsey. They save her.
Yep.
Okay. What's the next thing?
Oh boy.
Dubai.
Yes. Okay. So they go to get the disc.
God's
right?
Eye, yeah.
Yeah. So they go to Dubai. They infiltrate this party, like this super rich party.
Because the car was sold to a prince,
and he's keeping it in the car at the top of a tower.
It was hidden in the car. He didn't know that. Yes,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they go and they infiltrate the party. Ronda Rousey fights Michelle Rodriguez.
Awesome. Another great fight.
They drive the car through two buildings.
Three
buildings. And then Tyrese gets the. Is that who gets it?
Yeah. No. Paul Walker gets it.
Yeah.
And then they reconvene and they find out that they find out where Deckard Shaw is and they go to L.A. and they want to get
and then Jimon Hansu is there, and we're fucking this up.
Shootout in a warehouse and the bad guys get the God's Eye right after the good guys got it. Okay, I'll just take us home. Here we go. So then the bad guys have the God's Eye now. They're flying around in a helicopter with a drone and they're all in Los Angeles and they're gonna play a game of hot potato with Ramsey.
She's hacking them.
Trying to hack them, but she has to be a certain distance away. And then there's a fight between Dom and Statham on top of a parking garage. They're hitting each other with wrenches and shit. And then The Rock comes out. Daddy's got to go to work. He gets the big Gatling gun, shoots up the helicopter and the drone. And then you have Ramsey being thrown from car to car. And she finally hacks him to get the God's Eye back. Mr. Nobody shows up. Everybody's cool. We think Dom's dead. He's alive. And then they're all...
And then Paul Walker quits the game.
They drive off. Whew, there's a lot. Mm. That is so much.
So much happened in this movie. It was nonstop.
Pretty good though.
We did.
You know what? I'm gonna do this our sponsor this week. As of last week as well.
We're sponsored this week, guys.
Which means we are big time. I have an eyelash that's dancing in my eye, and I'm not getting emotional about our sponsor, although I'm very excited about it.
The sponsor had nothing to do with Ben's affliction.
No.
I just want to point that out.
We're sponsored by Blue Apron. I don't know if you know this, but this is the number one fresh ingredient delivery service in
number
the country.
Number one?
Number one.
God damn.
Yeah, and they make home cooking an incredible and accessible experience to everybody. We talked about this last week, how they partnered up with 150 local farms, and all of their food is locally sourced. It's sustainable. It has low impact on the environment. Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome, and how the studies have shown that cooking together makes your family bond. I know that my wife and I bond. She appreciates it when I make an effort and cook something, because without Blue Apron, I'm pretty terrible. In general, at cooking. Because what happens is Blue Apron gives you everything you need in specific, like, the ingredients.
So they portion it out?
Yeah, they portion everything
out.
That's
awesome.
So my problem is whenever I'm making something on my own, I'll just kind of go, yeah, that's a dab of something, and it messes it up. There's no waste. You don't have groceries you have to throw out, like, 3 weeks later because it's all gone bad. It just comes prepackaged, tells you exactly how to do it. All the meals, I think, are under, like, $10 per person, and it's, like, 40 minutes or less, I believe.
That's amazing.
Yeah, 40 minutes or less.
It sounds, like, totally foolproof.
It's foolproof, even for me, and I am terrible in the kitchen.
Yeah, so there you go.
Blue Apron can even turn a cook out of Ben Begley, and a chef, even, dare I say.
Wow, you just
dare
promoted
say,
yourself
chef.
In the
I
middle of this
myself.
Promo.
So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free. That's your first three meals free on us. Not on us, on Blue Apron. They're paying for it, not me. I don't get paid enough here. BlueApron.com/guilty. That's BlueApron.com/guilty. You'll love how it feels and how good it is and how all the food is scrumptious.
Is there free shipping on that?
There's free shipping as well. Yeah, it's all free.
You can't get anything for free shipping.
Because I don't know, what one did you try? I tried the baby broccoli and the Fontina paninis. Those were pretty amazing.
You know what I had recently? It was like a fish stew. It was like a tomato-based cod stew. And it was that's something that I would never, ever, ever think to make.
So delicious. I ordered my next three meals.
Nice.
I'm very, very stoked about it.
It makes cooking
so easy. Anyways, that's blueapron.com/guilty. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Now, back to Furious 7, ladies and gentlemen.
Boom.
Get out of here. Okay, here we go. Okay, so let's get into this. I just want to keep moving through it because this movie has so much. First off, we already said this, but Statham's intro might be my favorite intro for a bad guy, like, ever. It's such a good, all in one take.
Yeah.
He's sitting there staring off. And then it just, he's talking to his brother. There's like that vengeance there. And then just the tracking shot as he goes down the elevator, all the dead bodies and the carnage.
Just destruction
hands
everywhere.
Hands a dude a grenade and is like, here, hold this. Explosions. So bad.
I would like to know where he must have bought these grenades in bulk. Because
he has
hundreds of grenades.
Grenades for days. It's incredible. Yeah, I think he just went to the Costco for grenades.
Yeah, he must have.
And then the race wars scene I love because it harkened back to like the original Fast and Furious and the race wars that which, although taken out of context of the movie,
calling it race wars
sounds like a whole different, like, Charles Manson type, the Beatles are telling me this is going to happen. Yeah, it's a little
I shorthand, when I was marking sound clips, I wrote race wars, and I went back, like, after I went back and looked at it, and I was like, race wars?
What was race wars. In fact, actually, we have that clip. Can we play clip number one?
To come here?
Come here. We invented it.
And that's so much like that sums up the franchise, man. They invented it. This kind of movie.
Yeah, it's great. I love it because you're right. It's definitely like taking us back to the first one, just in like visually the way it looks, just how colorful it is,
and all the slow motion butt cheek shots.
Yeah, and like it's
how
like,
many slow motion butt cheeks do you get in that?
It's like a high school car wash, like one of those like coming of age stories where they're doing the charity car wash, and it's just like the cheerleaders like climbing on the cars. Like for some reason, it's that.
I wondered what the girl who says, "Are you ready? Go!" I wrote down like, "What's her day job?"
Right,
you know, that super sexy tatted up girl who wore a skirt that just shows half her butt. Like what's the day job on
she
that?
Wore the
tattoo
thing.
Artist model stripper no I think
not,
what
that's her night job
what if she's
not
like a
day job.
Yeah, you're right. What if she's like a lawyer or something? That'd be incredible. And I just go street rate. I that's a dangerous profession to have, to be the one
I would not
in between two cars that are speeding.
I wonder how they decided on who got to be that one, like, because there were a bunch of like bikini girls there, and they were like, we need someone with edge who has tattoos up and down their legs,
all over ribs too. That's painful.
Yeah, well,
that's painful. Anyway,
she made a choice.
So we realize that Letty's having PTSD. She's not quite used to this yet. Iggy Azalea pops up for about a second.
Yeah, Iggy Azalea, and then also that dude from Training Day,
which I think he's in one of the other ones. Is I can't remember now. I'm pretty sure
he's like,
I'm forgetting.
I'm pretty sure he just has the same character name in every movie that he does. It's like Hector.
He was in The Purge Anarchy, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He's a yelly guy.
Uh-huh.
Great dude, I met him. Nice guy. So I love the minivan moment with Paul Walker where when they show him, you think he's about to start racing, too. It's like, vroom, vroom, all these intense close-ups. And then it cuts to a wide, and it's just a minivan going, boop.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, get out. And this is something I read that was really funny. Somebody had mentioned where he's trying to figure out how to open the door, and he's having trouble, like, oh, I don't know how to do it because it's a minivan. But later on when he's in the bus and there's, like, the dangerous situation, he immediately knows how to do that. So he caught on.
He was
you're right.
He learned from his minivan mistake.
He started researching other ways to open doors other than...
He Googled it.
Googled it.
He goes, you never know what kind of vehicle
you never know.
It
might be in a bus.
I'm expanding my horizons.
You know, they did know that they were carrying Ramsey in a bus. Maybe everybody Googled how to open it, given the chance that they might end up in it as it's going off a cliff.
It would have been
good. And the only way out is the door.
Yeah, it would have been good information.
Yeah. So the first fight scene between... Jason Statham... I think we've covered a couple
movies. Yeah, we did Death Race.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He and The Rock are like two of my favorite current action stars.
Mm-hmm.
And to put them together and have them throw down within the first like 15 minutes and make it fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like everything you want. It's like when you got to watch Fast Five, because when Fast Five, when The Rock and Vin Diesel fight, it's badass. They're throwing, I think at one point they throw each other off a roof into like another like shanty in Rio de Janeiro, and they're like slamming through it, and it's so good. But this one ups it, where just the shots, even like when he body slams him and the camera turns with him, and he slams him onto the glass table, then Jason Statham cuts The Rock's legs, pulls down the fluorescent light on his head, and he falls over and then grabs the gun, and it's just like They throw each other through about seven glass windows. It's
glass.
Insane.
Glass is just there to be shattered in this movie. That's the only
like
reason
I said,
anything
like,
is
they have
glass.
A few, like The Rock has a nick here and here, and Statham has no cuts.
Right. Well, so this is like where the movie established, and obviously, like if you watch the series, they establish away that like crazy shit's gonna happen. But he throws the grenade and it blows up the entire floor of the police department. Mm-hmm. Right. But the reason Jason Statham survives it is because he put a table up. Like, shit is getting blown out of this building.
It might have been a metal table. Maybe
with
it was
unbelievable force, and he just throws up the table and is unscathed.
He's
and
fine.
So you're like, all right, well, here we go.
Here we go.
Here it is.
And The Rock, Superman tackles his partner and gets... Not only does he fall out of... it looked like it was three or four stories up, maybe higher.
I feel like higher.
Higher.
Yeah.
Not only does he... So he's not just falling out. He's being... shot out of it by an explosive force.
Projected out.
He's being projected out.
Uh-huh.
Happens to land on his back, And he's not even, this is how badass The Rock is. He's not even unconscious in that moment. He's still like, ugh, fuck. He acts like I do when I get up in the morning and I slept on my, like on my neck wrong, where I'm like, oh shit. That's how The Rock responds to crushing a car.
So this is another thing I was going to say about that fight scene is this is no one's fault but The Rock.
Yeah.
That he has now gotten himself so big that I don't believe anyone can touch him, really.
Yeah,
like, he's so enormous.
Well, but Statham is like...
He's quick
and scrappy.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I for sure... The fight scenes to me in this that I knew were really unrealistic was that Brian O'Connor could remotely take on Tony Jaa. Because Tony Jaa is like... him and Donnie Yen are two of the greatest martial artists working right now. Mm-hmm. And to have Tony Jaa, no matter how much training O'Connor's character had with... you know, cop, police training, all that stuff. Tony Jaa's on it. When he, that one point where he pushes the table and he kicks his feet up and then flips around and kicks him in the face, it's like, come on.
Yeah. So this is a problem with like the background knowledge they have. Because like Ronda Rousey fighting Michelle Rodriguez, then I was like,
after Michelle Rodriguez beats down three other guards,
yeah,
she's still, oh, that's fighting. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But oh, I got two sound clips from here that I love. It's B1. Can we play this? This is where Statham is hacking the computer and Hobbs comes in and he's pissed. B1.
Sure as hell ain't the IT guy, so you better start talking before I break that finger 6 different ways and stick it right where the sun doesn't shine.
So good. We got another clip from that because it's so good. B2 is after. So wait, just a second. I'll set it up. Dom goes to visit Hobbs in the hospital, and Hobbs is giving him kind of the roundabout dance, saying like, "Officially, I can't tell you, but unofficially." Go after him and don't miss. But before that, this is what Hobbs says he's going to do to him. Can we play B2?
Which is why when I get out, I'm going to put a hurt on him so bad he's going to wish his mama had kept her legs closed.
I have a follow-up.
That's so good.
At which point keep her legs closed? Well,
get out of here.
We have tools. Right. We have tools on our desk. Kept her legs closed at conception or at birth? Or both.
Both. I think just in case that conception didn't work.
Yeah.
It's such a good... I don't even want to riff on that because it's so perfect. It's like the Rock in Fast 5 and Fast and Furious 6, he's just like a machine with those one-liners.
It's 100% of his dialogue.
The only gripe I have about this, and it's a tiny one, is that the Rock's out of commission for most of the movie. But his return is so amazing, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
But it's incredible, so it's well worth the wait. Now let's go into... So Dom goes to Tokyo to tie up the Tokyo Drift storyline with Han dying, and we have the guy that was Southern Paul Walker in Tokyo Drift, and you're quickly reminded why that movie didn't work. I'm sure he's a lovely human being, but holy hell.
I feel like he was also in Varsity, like, were they in Varsity Blues together?
I think so, yeah. So then, can we play B3? Because this is what Dom says he's going to do to the guy who killed Han.
When you find the guy that killed Han, what are you going to do?
Words ain't even been
invented yet. Was he on a sedative for that line?
I love
it. It seemed normal when I watched it, but just hearing it back, like, he delivers that so slowly.
Can we play that again? It's like in slow-mo.
You find the guy that killed Han.
This southern accent is so...
What are you going to do?
Probably real, but silly.
Yeah.
Words ain't even been invented yet.
Words ain't even been actually, when he was delivering that line, he was melting into goo.
You know what? Vin Diesel can rival Stallone in his gravelly, badass, super drawn-out dialogue. Words ain't even been invented.
What does that mean? Like, you can still... You can give us a metaphor, can't you?
Or
are we not there yet?
I mean, and how often do they invent words? I mean,
To describe... I guarantee you the words have been invented.
I guarantee you.
Just try harder.
Just, you know, maybe... Take a minute and tell us again.
Yeah, think about it.
Just give us a second.
Or you can just say, I don't know.
I don't know.
I haven't decided yet.
So now we
have options.
We'll skip. Han's funeral happens. Statham shows up. They go play the greatest game of chicken ever because for once, neither car flinches. It's just like, boom! Because you're like, oh, who's gonna swerve? And then crash!
Neither.
You're like, oh!
Neither.
And the first thing I thought was, fuck, I hope both the stuntmen are okay. Jesus Christ, well, they're going like 60 miles an hour.
And they both just like...
They both come out and just go like, again, like I slept on my neck wrong. Like, ah, that's them. That's them. Oh my God, it's incredible. So Then they're about to have their beatdown, and then Statham brings out a gun, and Mr. Nobody shows up, a.k.a. I think you have a sound clip for Mr. Nobody, right?
Yeah, I do.
What number was that, 2? Mr. Nobody?
Mr. Nobody?
Josh, can we play Mr. Nobody?
Don't stay too late.
I'll stay as long as I want, woman.
Well, that one, too. We forgot about that one. We missed that one. That's a great one. You know, that actually happened last year when I was at Comic-Con. My wife called me and was like, hey, are you coming home? You know, traffic's going to get pretty bad. And I was knee deep in some dollar stacks of comic books.
Yeah, you were.
And so I was looking for a specific Uncanny X-Men issue, and I got a little bit feisty with her, and she asked me,
don't stay too late.
I'll stay as long as I want, woman.
And didn't go over well.
Nope.
Guess who was in the car immediately? This guy.
Oh, you. This okay. Guy. All right. I was racking my brain.
I couldn't figure it out.
Who was it? Oh, damn.
I'm looking up the sound clips on here, so I have them ready.
Oh, perfect.
So I can tell you more. Oh, okay, here. It's clip 3 sets up Deckard Shaw. We forgot about that.
Yeah,
the exposition for Deckard Shaw is fantastic. This is one of my favorite things about action movies, is where they give you... This movie is great about making their super overt exposition really fun. Yeah. Where it's like, here's exactly why we're going to this next action set piece. I'm going to tell you everything so that while we're there, you can just check out and have a blast.
And it's usually like, they didn't do it so much in this one, but it's usually over some like montage of them like going to, or like seeing the things that they're talking about. Yep. And
so good.
Choice.
Can we play clip number 3?
Deckard Shaw, British Special Forces assassin. The kind of unique asset that no government would ever admit to employing.
Black Ops boys.
Worse, they created a monster. They felt Shaw was a necessary evil until eventually they decided he was unnecessary.
Come on. How good is that? A necessary evil until eventually they found out they thought he was unnecessary. I just totally fucked it up. Vin Diesel, out of context when you're not watching him, sounds like a monster. Like, his voice is so intimidating and like gravelly. It's like it's jarring out of
it's
context.
A little bit was he Groot?
He was Groot.
Yeah, so it feels
I
like
I am Groot.
Yeah, that almost feel like it feels like he's prepping for that right now. It's sort of like Tom Hardy, now he can only do
Hardy only does weird voices and everything.
But he used to talk normal.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened to him.
Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
I'm from Hardy.
Right, but now he only does that.
He only does weird voices now. He's oh, God. But don't get me wrong. I love Vin Diesel. I'm a huge Vin Diesel fan. I love the last Triple X movie, which was kind of like a poor man's Fast and Furious. But still, it was fun.
So I did want to say, because I texted you this earlier, I heard that Timothy Oliphant was offered the Dom role, and he turned it down.
Did you know that originally, Rob Cohen, I read this on IMDb, the original casting was supposed to be Mario Lopez as Dom and Mark Paul Gosselaar as O'Connor.
Well, I don't have a problem with that.
And the producer or the studio said it might confuse the audience. This series would have been so silly if it was Zach and AC Slater being like, can you imagine AC Slater being like, doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile, winning is winning. Look at my dimples. I mean, it's just like, I gotta go to host Access Hollywood now. It's like, come on.
There'd be a lot more high-fiving.
Oh, God. Don't get me wrong. I love Mark Paul Gosselaar and AC and Mario
and
Lopez.
AC Slater.
And AC Slater.
I don't love Mario Lopez. I love AC Slater.
He will always be AC Slater. So now let's do the Mr. Nobody. This is when Kurt Russell shows up, and he's this super secret agent guy. Can we play Mr. Nobody clip number 4?
Me? I'm just a guy. I'm Mr. Nobody.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
Mr. Nobody.
Mr.
That's literally Nobody. All we learn about him.
Yeah.
And it's so good because now it's that classic action cliche where they bring in the bad guys to help for the greater good. Kind of like what Suicide Squad was trying to do and thought they were really original doing, but they weren't. Anyways, I didn't hate Suicide Squad. I just didn't like it that much. But so the parachuting car moment. Ludacris and Tyrese, Tej and Roman have amazing banter throughout this series.
It's the best.
It's so fun. And the fact that Roman is like this blowhard, thinks he's such a hotshot, and then when push comes to shove is a real big wuss.
Yeah.
And then everybody calls him on it is so fun. Because otherwise his character would just be kind of an arrogant prick. But because he has that vulnerability of being a giant wuss, and he's the only one that doesn't want to parachute out, and they already pre-rigged the chute to throw him out.
They knew that he wasn't going to do it.
It's so good.
But so we actually have the Tyrese exposition. So this is Tyrese explaining the entire history of his character.
Yep.
You done?
No, I'm not done. So you all wanted me to break into a police station.
Uh-huh, yeah, I remember that.
Fine.
Then you asked me to stop a tank. Yep, I wasn't happy about it, but I did it. Then you came up with this brilliant idea to shoot down one of the largest airplanes ever. I shot that shit out the sky.
Fast and Furious 6, yep.
Mm-hmm. But this right here, my friend, happens to be the stupidest idea I've ever heard of in my life. I forgot that you were the only one to bring the plane down.
The only thing I've ever seen him take down was Donnie's Denise.
Donnie's
Remember?
Denise.
The prom? Really, Brian?
Yeah.
You're going to do that right here? So y'all trying to get me off my point. All I'm saying is I'm tired of everybody around me making all the decisions.
It's so good because that's clearly the filmmakers being like, we realize this idea is fucking crazy,
yes,
but go with us because it's going to be awesome.
Yes.
And they're self-aware, but not to the point where it's like winking to the audience too much, I feel like. You know, it works within the realm of the ensemble without feeling like a... It never verges on parody or spoof of an action movie to me, ever.
Right. I mean, they do it a couple of times in this movie where they're like, all right, we have to extract something from impossible circumstances. Yeah. How are we going to do this? But I feel like... These were just sort of elaborate ruses to get A, throwing the cars out of the plane, and yeah, B, jumping the cars from buildings, right? Because those are the two times where they're like...
That whole chase sequence with the bus and Deckard Shaw showing up and them like treacherously going around these bends with cliffs, mm-hmm, and the machine guns that come out of the bus and start blowing away everybody, which, by the way, I love that he's like, it's armor-piercing rounds, and yet nobody even gets like grazed by a bullet touched. In it. It's so... amazing. But the one thing I did write down about this is I love the fact that it seems like while the cars are parachuting, they're falling forever.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Yeah.
It's like 5 minutes. How far up were they?
I don't know.
Cars fall real fast.
But then the other thing that I loved was it looked like they were also steering.
Steering a little.
It's like, you can't steer a car when it's falling. Like, I've never seen a car fall from an airplane. No. But I for sure, you're not driving it.
And then when O'Connor and Tony Jaa's character are fighting in the bus... And he sees the guns are lining up with one of the bad guys, and he slams Tony Jaa's head on the big, like, Office Depot. What is it? That was like, easy. Staples. It's like a big Staples button for the machine gun. Like, that was easy. Waste that car. And then when they go off the cliff, that scene's so epic with the bus careening towards... And where
Paul Walker's in the bus and he
runs off it in slow motion, and Letty just happens. There's so many moments in this where characters happen to show up at the exact perfect moment, and it makes me giggle every time. It's so fun when she just she drifts basically, and he jumps off and grabs onto the back, and then she kind of just flings him off.
Right. Well, so it's not only that she showed up at the exact right time, but she knew, like, there's no way she can see him, right? Because he's on the other side of the cliff. She knows to drift into that spot.
They have a hive mind, all of them.
You know, it's all about the familia.
La familia. It's so... And then Dom, when he's cornered by Jaimin Huntsu's character, I forget his name in it, but his idea, he spins like four donuts, and you're like, oh, this is because he's trying to get up power, and then he just stops.
Yep.
And you're like, oh.
Interesting.
So that was just to like kick up some dust and look cool for a second.
Yeah.
And then what's the plan? Go off the cliff.
Drive off the cliff.
Which, by the way, the fact that he survives that, but then we're worried. This is what really bothered me when I first saw it. The fact that he easily survives falling off a cliff and rolling down like 700 times.
Yeah.
But then his car falls like three flights in a parking garage and everybody's like, Dom! And he's like pseudo dead for a moment until Michelle Rodriguez's tears bring him back to life.
Well, I think the difference is he like souped that car up.
He did.
To be able to withstand.
Like, and for concrete some reason, fell on top of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Like, he knew that he was going to drive off the cliff,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. He wanted the bastard stepchild or love child
of these two.
Of those two,
one,
or whatever
one.
He said.
But so the one thing that I wanted to hit.
Or the demonic love child.
Before we move on, I texted you yesterday.
Oh,
do
you
remember
what
I texted
you? Yeah.
No, it's before this. We missed it already.
What bothered you?
If I were to hand you a beer, Ben, how would you grab that beer?
Oh, he grabbed it up top.
He strangles the top of the beer
he
when
always
he grabs
did that in
it.
All the movies.
That's so weird. Has he never held a bottle before in his life? Because he also so he grabs the
I love
beer.
It. That bothered you so much.
I like had to rewatch it because I was like, did I miss this?
If I'm pretty sure he always grabbed beers from the first one on.
So
like
he he tucks the beer in between his thumb and his finger, and he strangles it.
He drinks it like a caveman.
And then he's like, there's, he holds his hand on level with the lip and just
yeah,
like.
He likes to get a little salt from the sweat of his hand on it, you know, because everybody's always perspiring in these movies. He doesn't need salt on the Corona.
That's so weird. Yeah. It's so weird.
Like, that'd be if I drank the coffee like this.
Yeah. Or just, like, anything that you had to, like, manipulate into your mouth, if you held with full force onto it, it's just, it's awkward. And, it's not a natural way to do it.
I love that this bothered you so much. It's so much. That makes my day.
Because, it's not a natural way to hold it. So, like, he had to make a decision of, like, I want to make sure this bottle isn't breathing anymore. I want to choke it out.
I'm glad that I finally know what bothered you so much.
I took a still image and I'm gonna
post it
tonight.
Please do.
It was so
Do we need to have a therapy session about this?
I think that was very cathartic for me.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we meet Ramses, and she's Khaleesi's second in command or advisor.
Sure.
Before Tyrion shows up on Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Beautiful young lady. She's really super talented. She's an awesome actress and a great addition to this cast. I'm glad she's in the eighth one as well. I wish I knew her name right now. I feel like an asshole. But she's awesome. Anyways, so they're all calling like dibs on her, which is at first super misogynistic. Then I love that her buddy shows up and goes, "Don't call dibs on her. Her knee will meet your balls real fast." And I was like, "Fuck yeah." Because then at first it was kind of a little like, all right, guys.
Yeah.
She's not your property. But I like that they called it out like, she will whoop your ass.
Yeah, I also really like that particular scene because they like go to Dubai to do serious business, and she just like hops in the ocean real quick.
Slow motion.
Yeah, she's like, you know what? I'm gonna take a dip in the pool.
Then this is probably one of my favorite sequences in the movie, but the heist to get the car where they all have where Tej and Ramses are hacking while Michelle Rodriguez has to go into the suite to get the phone line access. And then she gets confronted by Ronda Rousey and the three guards. And then you got O'Connor and Dom going in to try and get it out of the car. And, of course, they can't get it in time when the shutters are closing, so they got to crash out.
Well, not only
and
that.
And then Statham shows up right at the exact light. How did he know?
Well, so, okay, a couple things. Dom picks up
the car. He picks up the car with his bare hands.
Yeah, and he, like, holds it. And Paul Walker's like, is this going to be cool? And he's like,
again, that's where the writers are calling out, like, you got this? Like, is this physically possible?
Yeah, but he, like, he makes him hold it for another couple seconds while he's like, he wouldn't do it if he thought he was going to kill
you. Fucking hurry up, man.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, and then a couple of times, I think like three times over the course of the movie, Jason Statham shows up like to finish the job.
Yeah.
He just like swoops in at the end and he's like, here I am.
I read he has 17 lines in this movie.
Is that true?
And it's all in the beginning. And then the rest of the movie is just him showing up looking Statham-y.
Yeah. Or just when he's like eating dinner in the warehouse.
Yeah, that's the other time. Yeah, that's it. So, this sequence is insane. The beatdown between Letty and Ronda Rousey is awesome.
Yes.
Them just MMA style whooping each other's ass. Ronda Rousey, super badass. Not the best actress.
Not the best.
Some of her lines are real rough.
We had a few cameos here where it was
she got better-ish in The Expendables 3. But here's the thing.
Wasn't she also in that... Was she in the LeBron James movie with Amy Schumer? I make that up?
I don't know, but she was in Entourage, movie.
Well...
Where Turtle was trying to hook up with her and she beats him up. But anyway, she's gotten better, but she's an athlete, you know? Like, I don't expect her, and she's a badass. Mm-hmm. It's like in the 80s and 90s, some of the action stars weren't the best actors, but...
O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, O.J. Simpson, exactly. So we get an awesome chick fight, they're beating ass, and then they end up falling over the balcony onto a piano. And Tyrese's whole job in that entire thing is just to act like a pompous ass, which he is... hilariously great at.
Yeah.
And he's like saying, oh, it's your birthday. You got some missiles under that dress. And it's just like.
Just to silence. It's unclear whether or not anyone else in that room speaks English. He didn't ever have a conversation. But, and like everyone's just looking at him.
And they
confused.
Let him go on forever.
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 And the DJ doesn't put up very much of a fight when he's like, no, this is mine now. I'm going to take this. The DJ's like,
it's so good.
Okay.
It's so good. I love it so much. And then I think you have the clip Unleash the Beast, right? Where where the car, they're saying, you know, it's a shame to keep this beast caged. Can we play clip number 8?
Yep.
Time to unleash the beast.
Yeah. You know. If you ever try that in the bedroom, it will get giggles. I tried it one time. I was like, all right, get ready, honey.
Time to unleash the beast.
She's like, oh, you.
Well,
you.
That's. But I'm a very hairy man, so I can do it sort of unironically.
Yeah. And your wife just goes,
she goes,
oh.
Yeah, that's more of a cringe. It's not a laugh.
Yeah, it's
like
a Well, when you put it that way.
Yeah, I don't... Let me take a TO on this. I don't...
Time out.
Yeah.
Zach Morris time out on it.
AC Slater.
Oh,
that's
man.
His second shout out.
It's so good. I know we haven't done as many improv riffs, and I apologize, fans that love that stuff, but this movie has so much hilarious stuff.
We're like halfway through and we have 8 minutes left here. So.
So I mean, this has the greatest moment ever where they launch the car out one building. It gets Statham shoots it with a grenade launcher, his limitless Costco supply of grenades.
Yep.
And I don't know if that helped them get to the next building? Because if so, he's probably like, shit!
Damn!
If I just hadn't shot him, they would have fallen.
If I had realized that they were driving out of this building on purpose, then I would have just let them do it.
And I love that it crashes through that, and you think that's it. Because I don't even remember seeing a third tower until they crash through the construction site.
Right.
And then zoom and crash into a random art gallery that's on, like, the 40th floor of a building.
Yeah, they make a, like... They realize there are no brakes in the car, and then they're like, well, I guess we're doing this again.
We just gun it, yeah.
And so they do, but then once they do, in the third building, they're able to roll out, and just let the car...
You know, amongst several innocent bystanders that somehow...
They'll get out of the way.
Somehow, in all these action scenes, never get murdered, except a bunch of police officers in the end with that helicopter.
Well,
they just show up to chase Paul Walker because he's driving fast, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, fuck, why did we come this way?
Kind of the wrong... Like, there's a lot of explosions...
Yeah,
going on throughout the downtown area.
I always love it in action movies when cars just explode for no reason. This movie, they don't, unless something explodes them, because the car falls out of those towers in Dubai and falls like 50 stories and just crashes and doesn't blow up.
I mean, the cars are the star of the movie, right? Like, a fun drinking game to play through any of the Fast and Furious movies, I would imagine, is anytime they do a shot of the pedals... And them like switching gears with the pedals.
Oh, God.
They do it like you'd probably 15 to 20 times.
Each action scene. Yeah. You'd be drunk immediately.
Yeah. I don't know why we need it every time.
Can we play the, let's see. Do you have the I Got Family? Oh, yeah. So then, anyway, so they get out of Dubai, they get the God's Eye back, and then they find Shaw, and they go to a warehouse, and then they're ambushed by Jaimin Hunsu's character and his cronies. And they barely get out alive, and then immediately the God's Eye is taken back.
Yeah.
But before that, Vin Diesel has an awesome line that has been the backbone of this franchise until the new one. Can we play clip number 9?
You ever heard the saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend?
I don't have friends. I got family.
Come on, man.
Well...
He literally has no friends.
He has no other friends.
Nope, that's it. Just his
family. Like, obviously some of his friends he considers family, but he doesn't have any, like...
No.
He's not on Facebook, and, the guy he went to high school with...
Or, if you pass the friend test, if...
Oh, you become family.
You become family. Okay. So, if you friend request Dominic Toretto...
Yeah.
He'll sit on that for a while.
He'll decide.
But once he decides to confirm you...
Yeah.
You're... Familia.
They should
family.
So just suggestion.
Every time I say familia, it sounds like the whitest thing ever.
It is.
And I kind of throw up in my mouth a little at my whiteness.
Well,
I'm so white I'm disappearing right now.
Limit how much you say it then so that you don't have to experience that terrible.
I'm becoming translucent right now with my Akron, Ohio whiteness.
But so if Mark Zuckerberg is watching or listening, add a family request button
to Facebook
because
that'll just solve it.
Yeah, friend request, family request.
So now let's just skip ahead a little bit to they decide, hey, they have the God's Eye, so they know where we are, so we're going to fight on our own turf. LA, they set up, they have this badass montage of everybody loading weapons. And
so wait, I'm going to derail you just for a second, because earlier in this podcast, I said I want to talk about how everyone just survives everything.
Yeah.
Like no one seems hurt or cut or anything.
Yeah.
The only person who has to get medevaced out of a situation is Kurt Russell he gets shot in the bulletproof vest.
Yeah, he gets shot. Well, he got shot once in the stomach.
Okay, all I see is him with the shot. Because
then
vest.
They went here and he said, oh, it's pretty bad. It's in his side.
I totally missed that.
Yeah.
All right, so then
he gets medevaced out. So he lives because he was in the new one. And then there's this badass montage of them all getting ready, guns loading, everybody's gathering them. We'd already talked about how they do this amazing hot potato where Ramsey is literally being thrown out of a car. The best is when O'Connor and Tej and Roman do like a double donut and throw her out of the car going like 50 miles an hour.
She jumps.
She jumps.
Try and jump out of a window. Try and project yourself out of a car window, like when the car's standing still. You won't be able to
You won't be able to.
Yeah.
I've tried to like do the whole like cool, like jump into even a convertible.
Yeah.
I've tried to do like the Miami Vice, like jump into a convertible or whatever thing, and it's impossible.
That's hard.
I get snagged up on the seatbelt. I hit my head on the rear view mirror. It's embarrassing.
There are a lot of obstacles.
It's embarrassing.
They should make cars so that you can jump in and out.
There's this incredible sequence with the helicopter shooting up the place and the drone the Predator that they let out, the drone.
Yeah.
That's just like blasting missiles. Apparently that Predator has limitless missiles, by the way.
Yeah, well.
Just unlimited missiles.
It's unleashed by a guy who has unlimited grenades. So
there you go.
That makes sense.
There you go. And Dom and Statham are fighting on top of the parking garage, and that fight scene is awesome. Then that gets blown up. And Dom launches the car. First, I know I'm skipping a little bit, but you know what? I forgot because The Rock comes back.
Yeah,
it's the greatest comeback.
Yes, he does.
And can we play number 10?
That is not going to work.
Yes. Then he flexes his cast off.
He flexes the cast off. And then he's not hindered by the broken arm for the rest of the movie. My favorite part about that Rock moment, not that particular moment, but when he's in the hospital, like looking at what's going on, a satellite gets exploded and falls down, and he looks out the window and he goes, Toretto.
Toretto. But so then I want to hit a few more points because we're running out of time.
Yes, please.
But so The Rock doesn't show up again until a few minutes later, where the hot potatoes happen and Ramses is now in the car with Michelle Rodriguez, Letty, and they're driving and the drone is hot on their tail and it's like one last missile and they're going to be dead. And then out of nowhere, they're in a tunnel. The Rock is driving an ambulance and goes, and crashes through, and somehow he perfectly lands on the drone. Like, could you imagine if he did that big gesture and then the drone flew and he was like, oh, shit. Damn it. He perfectly lands on this super fast drone.
The Looney Tunes version of Fast and Furious. And then he like suspends in midair and he's like,
there's just a cloud after him. So he crushes this drone. The drone was about to fire a missile, so the missile blows up and he gets out unscathed.
Well, he's The Rock.
He's The Rock.
Nothing can defeat The Rock.
And he picks up, then he picks up the Gatling gun that was part of the drone, and he goes after the helicopter, and he's just mowing down the helicopter as the helicopter is trying to blow up the parking structure with Shaw and Dom on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then Dom, well, first Dom, can we play the...
It's 12, I think.
Yeah. Can we play clip number 12?
Thing about street fights, the street always wins.
And then all Dom has to do to finish off Statham is do a really cool stomp.
He stomps.
And the park and everything just shut, except where Dom's standing. Cool.
Well, I mean, he's the stomper.
Then he gets in the car and in kind of an homage to Transporter 2, launches his car up a perfectly formed ramp from the explosion.
And was he's like to himself, he's like, don't miss.
Because that's what The Rock told him. And he's like, I don't want to let you down.
Yeah.
And then you don't know what happened, and then his car crashes, and like, Dom, no! And then you find out he hooked one of the bags of limitless grenades to the bottom of the helicopter.
But decided not to pull the pin in any of the grenades, yeah. So it requires The Rock to hit the bag,
He was giving The Rock a layup, because The Rock...
Yeah, he alley-ooped The Rock.
Yeah. And so then The Rock blows up the helicopter, and it's incredible, and they're all worried Dom's dead, and he's not. Because Letty remembers everything, and her tears bring him back to life.
Yeah.
Kind of.
She's like, stop the Heimlich.
Doing CPR.
I just want to whisper nice things
into
him.
If I hug him and cry, he'll come back. That's a Disney movie ending. We have no time.
We have 0
seconds left. Say one last thing. Then my last sound clip I want to play is B4. This is when The Rock puts Statham in this maximum security prison with machine guns lined up. Can we play B4?
You do know. Non-official.
Well, once you dig through 38 feet of concrete and steel, my fist and a body bag will be waiting for you on the other side. So I suggest you get to digging, boy.
My fist and a body bag. Oh, this movie's so great. And I, not to dwell on the sadness of it, but they do a really touching way of sending off Brian O'Connor, Paul Walker's character, by letting him choose family, his actual family in the movie, and his son and his wife over the bullets, because that's a whole theme they keep talking about, is that like it's too dangerous. He has a kid now, And I cried my face off in the theater when this happened. It was so beautifully done. They took a scene from one of the old movies, and it's just a really touching moment between him and Vin Diesel at the end. And then that song by Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth plays that, mm-hmm. It's been a long time without you, my friend. And it's just like, I lost it. But it's such a beautiful way to end such a fun movie. And I'm so glad they didn't do something as tacky as, like, I knew they would never kill him off in the movie.
So I honestly, and not to like keep pushing this here, but I didn't know. And what I had heard from everyone was that they cried their eyes out in the theater.
So you thought maybe.
And so I was worried, like, I didn't have, they don't have equity with me, the Furious franchise. So I didn't know like how they would handle it.
Yeah.
And I was really worried every time he went into danger. I was like, because they please don't do this.
That phone call with his wife, they set it up. Like he's going to.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was such a beautiful way. And,
it was really well done.
It's really sad what happened to him. And you know, our thoughts are with his family. And I know that his friends and everybody in the Fate of the Furious are missing him on this movie. But I think that the movie's going to be amazing. And this movie was incredible. And what I want you guys to do, because we're out of time, is tweet at us. I put up a poll on Guilty Movie Guys. What's your favorite Fast and Furious movie? I'm counting from 1, skipping 2, 3, and 4, and doing 5, 6, and 7. And then let us know when you see 8. How it ranks for you. I'm going to try and check it out this weekend in IMAX or Dolby Cinema, the only way to see something that massive. I can't wait for the submarine coming out in the Arctic. That looks incredible. But until next time, where can they find... Oh, yeah, where are you
I was just going to say, also tell us what you thought of Pixels.
Yeah, go tell ahead. Us what you thought of Pixels. Yeah. Where can they find you, Jesse?
You can find me again, at Too Much Jesse on Instagram and on Twitter. Check out The Prom Losers for a sketch.
Yeah, I'm at The Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram. At Guilty Movie Guys is our handle. And at Funhouse Mass is the Funhouse Massacre's handle, the movie my wife and I wrote. We got some other things in the works. We're getting some funding together, so I'll keep you posted on that. But until then, it's top secret. And ladies and gentlemen, this has been Furious 7. Until next week, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.